नमस्ते सुस्वागतम एंड वेलकम टू आर 228 एडिशन ऑफ ज्ञान गंगा वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम ऑन आवर विराट हिंदुस्तान संगम चैनल. एज यू ऑल नो दैट वी आर साइमल्टेनियसली वे ऑन वेरियस प्लेटफॉर्म. इट इज नॉट ओनली यूट्यूब, वी आर ऑन फेसबुक, स्पेसेस, पॉडकास्ट एंड वेरियस अदर चैनल्स ऑफ सोशल मीडिया. टुडे वी हैव एन इम्पॉर्टेंट डिस्कशन, इज इंडियन डेमोक्रेसी अंडर सीरियस थ्रेट. And for the next 45 minutes to about an hour, Dr. Subramaniam Swamy and the panel will be discussing this important topic. We, as I mentioned, we are at episode number 228, which has now turned into a weekly program. Exactly about a year, about 3 years ago, or to be precise, on the 2nd of April 2000, during the COVID lockdown, we had started this program on Ram Navami. And today is the 31st of March 2024, and Ram Navami is just around the corner on the 17th of April. And the earlier which program was a daily program, and we discussed everything with Dr. Swamy. Now we have turned it into a weekly program, and we thank our viewers across the globe for their support. I also want to make a small announcement before we proceed with Dr. Swamy. As we have internally circulated, and it is known to many of our members, Virat Hindustan Sangam would be celebrating this year's Ram Navami at Ayodhya with Dr. Subramaniam Swamy and Lord Rama. And we all will be reaching there on the 16th of April. And the program is up to the 17th of April. 17th is Ram Navami. So this is for the benefit of all our viewers who have registered and for the program. So with these words, it is over to Dr. Swamy to start today's important discussion, which is a matter of concern for all Indians in India and across the globe, and also for all the countries who are pro-democracy. Over to Dr. Swamy.
Thank you, Jagdish. Today is March 31st, which means the financial year 23-24 has ended today, and a new financial year will start from tomorrow. It causes a lot of confusion because people are used from January to January, but in the finance, we go from 1st April to 1st April. Not because it's April Fool is part of the tomfoolery in our budget. So in that circumstance, since the financial year has ended, I want to give a brief account of what are the dangers that we are facing for our democracy today. The economy is a very important part of it. And I'll start with the economy and then not as extensively the other areas of national security and then the political situation. These are also bring in to show we are essentially under a siege. And I don't think the Prime Minister, Mr. Modi, recognizes that, because he is all the time making out that nothing is wrong, everything is okay. So, as I said, the economy, the defense, and human rights. These are three things which are important, very extremely important for the country's security, safety, growth, and all that. All three we need. You can't just have economic development and not have your defense in order to protect your country. So let me start by asking the first question. What is the stage of the economic performance so far? Now, and what is the implications going to be for us in the elections? Now, why I'm asking you this is that the database for coming to a conclusion is based on an economic consensus, economic census, which we do once in 5 years. And for the last 9 years, Modi's government has not done it. Not one occasion of a census. So there's no economic census. Everything is guesswork. and bluff. The second is an employmental concern. So we really don't know how many people are employed and how many are not employed. And the third is an index of industrial production. Even that is now 12 years old. What we had before, we have 12 years old. It was, the last one was done during the Manmohan Singh period, and now we don't have it. So there also, there is a guess. Excuse me. So the government has got no fresh, more scientific collection of data. So how is it that IMF and UN and all publish, you know, India is growing at 8%, 7%, etc. They are doing it on the basis that whatever the government of India sends, they recycle it because they have no independent database. How would they know what in India, what the situation is? They rely on the Indian government. I know it because I've worked as a consultant many times with World Bank and United Nations. I've even served in the United Nations. So I know this. They, for data of a country, they rely for political reasons also on the country. So India has sent them the data and they have not questioned it and they just recycle it. Only now, because certain experts brought it to the notice of the IMF and they brought it to the notice of the World Bank. So now they are recollecting it and they are now toning down some of the numbers. So I would like to say that so far today, the data provided by the government of India is not based on any sample survey, is not based on anything except what the bureaucracy through the various ministries sends to the finance ministry, which then they collate and say. And none of them have got the guts to tell Modi that the facts are, the numbers are against you. So they don't, they hide it. Like yesterday, one of our leading Supreme Court judge, who's from Karnataka, she in a statement in some seminar correctly said that how do we know how much when the demonetization took place, that demonetization actually had taken place. Because what we find now is that for every 100 rupees that we had replaced, had received to replace, that's right, Nagaratna was her name, Justice Nagaratna, Gurudat Kargala has very kindly put her name on the screen. She says that she said that we just don't know how much money truly came back and how much were newly issued. We found from the statistics, and that's why there's no official record for the public on what happened in the demonetization. According to us, for every 1 rupee that came back, 104 rupees, 100 rupees, 104 whatever, 1.404 came back. So therefore, you got more money than you had issued. So how does that indicate? So it shows that all this black money, everything has come to in the cycle. So that is a flop. After that, nobody raised it. Nobody spoke about it. And the last elections of 2019, it was never, you know, demonetization was not mentioned, just like getting all the money from abroad, which Modi had promised. He has never now since then spoken about it. So we have a situation today that we don't know exactly what has happened, because in order to get the correct information of the Indian economy, we need to have knowledge about how much labor is employed. Do we know how much, or what is the unemployment? Unemployment is huge because judging by the number of people who are going abroad, you know that in Ukraine, Indians have gone there because they can't get a job in India. So they And somebody said, no, in Ukraine, you can go and work there and maybe become a soldier there and you may take a risk, but you'll get a good salary. There are other places also now Indians are going. Some Indians recently tried to enter the United States from Mexico. How did they go to to Mexico? They go to the South to South America, which is easy to go through. And then from there, they come into the United States. So Indians are suffering today, but it is not being reflected in the newspapers because the newspapers have become completely under control of the government. They are too afraid to even mention anyone Modi doesn't want their name to be mentioned. Modi has got one officer in the PMO called Hiren Joshi, who goes around to every newspaper and says, how did you put this man's name? Somebody said, oh, he's in the BJP, so why should you object? He said, no, he's not a cleared person. He's not cleared for publicity, so then henceforth, don't publish him in the newspapers. I know this because some newspapers I know personally, the editors, the owners, so on. And they have told me this is how we get micromanaged by the government. So today, when you are talking about the serious threat to our democracy, this is a fact that today the information that people are getting is all, as is just reflected on the economic facts. The information the Indian people are getting is all false. And therefore, they are doctored. And therefore, our country is today, as a democracy, is not in a position to review what is really happening. And so far, propaganda has helped us in the elections. We as BJP members, we all want BJP to prosper. And of course, we want India to have much more Hindu renaissance and so on. But if you are going to be discredited in the end, that you told lies to them, then I am afraid it will be like Mrs. Gandhi and the emergency. Who thought that Mrs. Gandhi would be wiped out completely? She'll lose her own election in 1977. It happened because people began to hear about the truth, and by word of mouth, they came to the conclusion that Mrs. Gandhi is harming the country. So we all are likely to suffer. Mr. Modi can put Mr. General V.K. Singh in one corner and somebody else in another corner and, ignores X, Y, Z. But in the end, it is the BJP which will collapse. And that BJP needs to go. Its agenda has not yet been completed, is not been implemented. And if because of this man's megalomaniac, if we are going to suffer like this, we must at least amongst ourselves know that these are the things that are put out so that our workers don't go and say poverty has been established. Similarly, there are other aspects of this which I will come to in a minute, but I would like to say that as far as the economy is concerned, whether you look at agriculture, there are people still sitting on the streets. And agriculture, in some of the rich areas where they have tractors and so on, they produce more. But generally speaking, if you take the consensus, the census of the agriculture, which has not been taken, you will find that agriculture has, in the rate of growth of agriculture, slowed down. Similarly, in almost every sector today, when you start going into the depth of it, you find this is happening. So I would say that we have to have a broader understanding of what we are in. And we don't want to be like Soviet Union, suddenly discover everything falling apart, the whole system collapsed. And then for a few years, democracy prevailed in Russia. And the Soviet Union broke up into 16 pieces. And what was left was Russia. And Russia, for some time, now a dictator is again taken over. But you see what is it causing, what is happening. There are terrorist activities in Russia, which is supposed to be highly controlled. Because you can't suppress the people beyond a point. So in these circumstances, I would like to say that in the media, for example, today, in the main newspapers, they are not reporting. They will not report anyone who Modi doesn't like. I know this for a fact because I have not only have relatives, I have a daughter in the media. I have friends from a long standing who complain to me. They say, but we have to live. We have to, bring bread to our families. So we can't take the stand. We'll be thrown out the next day. And there are people who are constantly coming and informing. For instance, one of the papers in South India published an op-ed of mine on the true state of the Indian economy. And they were visited by Mr. Aryan Joshi, said, do you want us to stop all the advertisements that we have been giving you? Now, the newspapers have got used to advertisements from government and they are getting revenue from that. And tomorrow the advertisements are stopped. They will all be in great difficulty and the country will be in difficulty because people who were hired on the basis that there was plenty of money in the exchequer of the newspapers, they were hiring people, they were putting up people abroad and they were sending reports from there and the newspaper naturally became more international. So this is the issue that I think we have to see as the economy is deteriorating. I will tell you it is deteriorating. He said, you remember in 2019, he said, in 4 years, I will make our GDP $5 trillion. Now, what is it today? It is not even crossed $3 trillion by the government's own admission. And so there's no way to cross-check this or ask the government, have you failed or not? Then we come to a third thing, and which is a very important part of the serious threat that our democracy faces. The Chinese have come and occupied 4,064 square kilometers of undisputed India, mostly in Ladakh. And I've been saying from day one, when I've been saying, from 2020, I've been saying, April 16, 2020, I said the Chinese have crossed in. I'm a China expert. I've been teaching economy of China at Harvard University. I've gone all over the world giving talks. I know Chinese. I speak Chinese. At least now, maybe a little rusty, but I have been intimately connected with how Chinese function, what it means, what the nuances are. I can read and write Chinese at one stage. Maybe I'm a little forgotten a little now. But the fact is that even today, I can brush it up and get back to it. But the Chinese own publications within their own country, which is called Nebu. Nebu means insider. So Nebu newspaper says what Chinese have occupied in India. And that on that basis, I've been saying to contradict this. They have not been able to contradict it. And we have lost at least for the new, I'm not even the old 30,000 square kilometers of land China had occupied during the Congress rule and still continue to occupy it. We haven't got it back because we haven't had the necessary talks that are need. And in our talks, it is all drinking motai or some other drinks and coming back wearing a suit and boot, looking like butlers, our people. But the fact is that the Chinese have increasing slowly, slowly, slowly. They've been increased. Indian government had decided, okay, well, let's have a no man's land. I mean, you don't cross this area, which we consider as ours. The line that we have drawn, you don't cross that. And we won't cross what you say is your line. So in between, there is a no man's land. And that no man's land afterwards, within 6 months, the Chinese have come and occupied it. So therefore, the Ladakh people are now protesting. They are right. There'll be no Ladakh left. In Arunachal and all that, there are hills. This was a little difficult for the Chinese to settle there. But Ladakh is absolutely very, very easy for them to take over and settle down. And that will give you them immediate access to Pakistan, immediate access to Kashmir, and so on. The Chinese would be in a total, they can cut what looks like India's head the Kashmir looks like India's head, you know, one day they can cut that off. So where is the, why are you not doing it? I filed a question under RTI, how many square kilometers of Indian territory, undisputed Indian territory, has been taken by the Chinese and is in Chinese occupation. No answer. Then I went on one step higher, no answer. Then finally I went to the dispute, the chief of the operations there, and chief of the operations of this RTI matter. And they were held a conference in which they called the External Affairs Ministry, the Defense Ministry, and the Home Ministry. And they were all dumbstruck. And finally, the chairman got very stiff and he said, you can't do like this. And you have to have an explanation. You have no explanation. Why you're not telling us how much of Indian land has been taken over the Chinese? And so they've given them till the middle of April to give complete data to me. And when that comes out, I will hold one of my Gyan Ganga meetings in that and tell you what's going to happen. But I have to go through this. In Parliament, when I asked, they said, no, it is national security. How can it be national security? If China takes your territory, it's not national security. It's a national calamity. And the whole country must be told that. You can take over Chinese land, then it will be national security because you don't want to make it an international issue. But if Chinese take over your land, how can it be national security? And all these semi-idiots or maybe full idiots, they have come into all these important policy-making positions. And you know the way the candidates are being selected. People who have won by 5 lakh vote margin, and not once but twice, they've been cut off. And people who have been Swayam Sevaks from childhood and then built the Jansangh and then later on the Janata Party and then they're also this thing. And Mr. Modi doesn't say even today China is an aggressor. He says, ne koi aaya nahi, koi gaya nahi, and he's stuck with that. And he wants to be seen in the international world. The other day, I think it was in one of these G20 types meeting. Xi Jinping was sitting in the sofa and Mr. Modi was standing, waiting for Xi Jinping to safely sit in the sofa. The picture came. Then they had some dinner and I saw Modi running. He was actually running with a photographer to go and shake hands with these normally don't come in our papers, but they came in foreign papers and that's how I came to see it. So here is a situation where today we can say that maybe our innocent Indian people still don't know, that like in Jawaharlal Nehru's matter, Jawaharlal Nehru's tenure, innocent people didn't know that Hindi Chini Bye Bye was actually a slap on the face of India. And we should not repeat it, we should not say it, and we should in fact start telling the Chinese, return it or we are going to finish you off. We can do it because the Chinese are on a mountain and they have come down to Arunachal and that's coming down the mountain. And if they want to fight us, they'll be against the mountain, they will crush them. And we have done it once or twice before. Once in 1967 we did it. And another time we did in 1987, we thrashed them. And after that, the Chinese did not disturb us till Mr. Modi came. And then they started doing it. So in these circumstances, in all these matters, I think the subject is very large. I'd like to speak much, much more about the human rights aspects that are taking place in our country, which we need to deal with because it can't be shut off. But that we may do later. But at the moment, I would say that our country today is not functioning according to the national interest of our country. Our government is not functioning according to national interest. I would like to see all patriotic people who are with BJP to get up and, you know, discipline is as a limit. When somebody is not misusing your discipline, then you have to redraw that discipline. The format of the discipline once again, and see that they are brought to book. And that is why I decided that we should have this function today, so that people get alerted that they have not been told the truth. The economy is not growing. If they say 6%, I challenge them, have a debate with me, public debate, any place. And I will be happy to debate with the government spokesmen who are in the official dumb, not these ministers, they don't know anything. It's no use wasting time there. Get any of the economists who are working with the finance ministry and ask them to come on a debate with me and show to me that they are growing. We are growing at 8% and 9%. Even Amit Shah is taking 8%. He doesn't know ABC of economics, but he says 8% mein ja hamari economy badh rahi hai. How? On what basis? And just like, doubling of our GDP in 5 years, which Modi had announced that in 1919, we are nowhere there. And therefore, even today, we are not anywhere there. So the truth needs to be told. And I cannot give any statistics on it because the government published statistics are all fake. I have done it by, going as an economist, sitting down and putting 2 + 2 together and see that it becomes 4. And if it becomes 5, then I know something wrong has happened. So on the basis of this analysis, I'm putting forward warning the country that I warned the country about China and I've been proved right, but they are all putting parda on it. I'm warning the country that we are heading for a major economic collapse if we do not face the facts and do what is necessary. You saw China, which had hid all this, has now an economic crisis in China. But now it's come out in the open, but there it's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship, so they can hide even today a lot. India is in a very tragic position and there's an election. And let us hope that people who are truly loyal to the country are elected in this election. Over to you, Jagdish.
Thank you, Dr. Swami, for that very enlightening information which you have shared with our viewers. I have a few questions. One of our viewers from Mumbai, Advocate V.B. Singh, has this question for you. It's on the screen.
Yes. You also supported Sami. Yes, because the other parties are... the Congress Party was there, were rogues. So it's better to support idiots than rogues. And these idiots I can take care of and see that we get back on the track. So just because I am as part of the party, I felt that this is a better party than the Congress. And therefore we must, the Congress, we had very good people like Narasimha Rao and even Rajiv Gandhi. But these people, they are all from abroad. They have no love for this country. And so I felt that this country is in danger. And consequently, BJP is the one that should be supported. And I stand by that. Even today, minus Modi, BJP is still the best party in the country.
Arvind, I have something to ask in Hindi. We have other questions, but aap shuruaat kijiye Hindi mein, kyunki bahut sare darshak aapse Hindi se aur Dr. Swami Hindi mein jawab bhi denge.
Yeah, Jagdish, ye bahut hi mahatvapurn prashn hai aur khas taur se isliye jabki ye hum chunav ki purv sandhya par hain. Hamara desh 540 से ज़्यादा लोकसभा के मेंबर चुनने जा रहा है और जो देश में हालात है, अगर देश में हालात आज के विषय में जो हम बात कर रहे हैं, डॉक्टर स्वामी ने पहल की है, ये चुनाव के पहले बहस जरूर इस पूरे देश में होनी चाहिए, इसलिए इस दृष्टि से मैं समझता हूँ ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है. इस विषय पर हम पहले भी बात कर चुके हैं, जैसा डॉक्टर स्वामी ने शुरुआत में कहा था, हमने जबकि मुझे याद है मैंने भी कहा था कि हम पूरे देश को एक पार्टी डेमोक्रेसी की तरफ ले जा रहे हैं, वन पार्टी डेमोक्रेसी, यानी कि एक पार्टी का लोकतंत्र. चीन में डेमोक्रेसी नहीं है, वहां एक पार्टी का रूल है. रशिया में डेमोक्रेसी नहीं है और नाम के लिए डेमोक्रेसी है, वहां भी एक पार्टी का रूल है. हम जगदीश आपको याद होगा 35 साल पहले मैं और आप नॉर्थ कोरिया गए थे। नॉर्थ कोरिया में हमने जो डिक्टेटरशिप देखी, उस तरह की डिक्टेटरशिप तो हम भारत में नहीं देख पा रहे हैं आज। लेकिन हमें ये बातें जो आज हो रही हैं वो याद दिलाते हैं इमरजेंसी की। इमरजेंसी में मीडिया पर पूरी तरह कंट्रोल कर दिया गया था। डॉक्टर स्वामी ने अभी हिरेन जोशी और दूसरे उनके कार्यकलापों का बात जिक्र किया, जबकि गोदी, हम इसको गोदी मीडिया कहें, मोदी मीडिया कहें, कोई भी मीडिया का नाम दें, कोई भी चीज जो सरकार के खिलाफ है आज पब्लिश नहीं हो सकती। कोई भी टीवी चैनल उस डिबेट को नहीं दिखा सकता। आज इंडिया अलायंस की मीटिंग रामलीला मैदान में हुई थी और मैं देख रहा था कि कौन सा चैनल इसको दिखा रहा है, क्योंकि मोदी जी मेरठ में थे तो मेरठ की रैली भी दिखानी थी। तो सिर्फ एक चैनल मुझे मिला, वो राजीव शुक्ला का चैनल है TV24 और समथिंग, उस चैनल पे ये रैली दिखा रहे थे। और एक जमाने में NDTV हुआ करता था जो सरकार के खिलाफ दिखाता था, वो भी सरकार ने एक तरह से अपने हाथ में ले लिया है। तो मीडिया बिल्कुल गुलाम है। मीडिया के रास्ते कुछ भी चीज जो सरकार के खिलाफ है कही नहीं जा सकती, यानी कि जनता तक जो वस्तु स्थिति है। डॉक्टर स्वामी ने कितनी बातों का भी जिक्र किया, दर्शकों को मैं बताना चाहता हूं कि जो आंकड़े NSSO दे रही है वो आंकड़े बनावटी आंकड़े हैं, और जो सर्वे और सर्वेक्षण नियमित रूप से होने चाहिए वो सर्वेक्षण भी नहीं हो रहे। यानी कि सरकार जनता से जो वस्तु स्थिति आंकड़े छिपा रही है और जो उनको बनावटी तौर पर बताया जा रहा है वही पूरी दुनिया में छा रहा है। तो एक तो हुआ, दूसरा लोकतांत्रिक संस्थाओं का हनन हो रहा है, इलेक्टेड चीफ मिनिस्टर्स का गिरफ्तारी हो रही है और उनके खिलाफ केस डाले जा रहे हैं, जजेस रिजाइन करके लोकसभा के प्रत्याशी बन रहे हैं, जो पूर्व जजेस हैं उनको राज्यसभा का मेंबर बना के लालच दिया जा रहा है वर्तमान जजेस को, 600 वकील सरकार के पक्ष लेकर जुडिशरी के खिलाफ चिट्ठी लिख रहे हैं कि ये सुप्रीम कोर्ट को अधिकार नहीं है, ये सुप्रीम कोर्ट के ऊपर भी दबाव डालने की। तो ये सारे लक्षण इनको, और हमने पिछले हफ्ते भी डिस्कस किया था, उसके पहले भी बात की थी इलेक्टोरल बॉन्ड के ऊपर जिस तरह ये वसूली की गई है। और जरूरी नहीं है कि जो हर चीज विपक्ष जो कह रहा है वो सही है, लेकिन जो उन्होंने धंधा बनाया वसूली, उनको ये कहते हैं कि ये वसूली बॉन्ड था, चंदा दो धंधा लो। और मुझे ये भी पता लगा है कि जब कुछ विपक्ष के पार्टियों ने ये विज्ञापन देने की कोशिश की चुनाव के लिए, तो मीडिया ने मना कर दिया कि मीडिया सरकार के खिलाफ कुछ भी सुनने को तैयार नहीं। सारे लक्षण ये हमें बता रहे हैं कि हम अधिनायकवाद की तरफ जा रहे हैं। इंदिरा गांधी की इमरजेंसी हम सबने देखी है, डॉक्टर स्वामी ने तो पूरे दुनिया में इसका विरुद्ध जाके प्रचार किया, अमेरिका में और यूके में और दूसरे देशों में, और वो इमरजेंसी के हीरो रहे हैं। और ये हमें संतोष था कि जब जनता पार्टी की सरकार आई तो हमने एक क्लॉज वहां लगा दिया कि अब इस तरह की कोई इमरजेंसी देश में नहीं लग सकती। तो बिना इमरजेंसी लगाए, हम इस कार्यक्रम के पहले भी बात कर रहे थे कि बिना इमरजेंसी लगाए देश में उसी प्रकार के हालात पैदा हो रहे हैं। डॉक्टर स्वामी, आपको लगता है, मैं ये भूमिका इसलिए कह रहा था कि डॉक्टर स्वामी का जवाब इस विषय पर बहुत महत्वपूर्ण होगा, क्या जनता तक सही इंफॉर्मेशन पहुंच पा रही है और क्या जनता सही निर्णय चुनाव में ले पाएगी?
देखिए, जनता के पास एक ही तरीके हैं आज, खास तौर पर मैं कहता हूं कि जो मिडिल क्लास है, जो लोअर मिडिल क्लास है, जो पढ़े लिखे लोग हैं, सबके पास आजकल टेलीविजन है और टेलीविजन देखते हैं। टेलीविजन में दूरदर्शन की बात छोड़िए, मैं कहता हूं कि ये सारे जो निजी व्यापारी लोग हैं जिन्होंने चैनल्स चलाई है वो भी असलियत नहीं बताते, क्योंकि बताएंगे तो दूसरे दिन उनको बंद कर देंगे। तो इसीलिए मैं समझता हूँ कि पब्लिक को अभी धीरे धीरे पता लग रही है, क्योंकि वो जब जब जाते हैं दुकान में देखते हैं कि दाम बढ़ गई है और टीवी में कह रहे हैं कि दाम कम हो गए, तो उसमें से थोड़ा ये बनी है। जैसे इमरजेंसी में भी लोगों को पहले तो कह रहे थे अरे वाह वाह सब बाबू लोग टाइम पर आ रहे हैं, हमारी ट्रेन अब टाइम पर चल रही है, ये सारी बातें कहती थी, पर धीरे धीरे उनको पता लगा कि कितना कुकर्म हो रहा है। तो इसीलिए चुपचाप रहे, जब चुनाव हुई थी तो उन्होंने इंदिरा गांधी को हरा दिया, तो वैसे हमारा नहीं होना चाहिए, क्योंकि हमारे पास एक बहुत महत्वपूर्ण एक एक दायित्व है कि इस देश में जो हिंदुत्व के लिए हमने और हिंदू राष्ट्र के लिए, हिंदू राष्ट्र माने हम सिर्फ हिंदुओं के लिए नहीं रखेंगे, परंतु ये हिंदू राष्ट्र के जो अनेक जो जो सिद्धांत है उसको हम प्रचार करेंगे, जो अंग्रेजों ने इसको दबाया उसको बाहर लाएंगे, जो महाभारत और रामायण की जो असली कथा है उसको हम स्कूलों में पढ़ाएंगे। इस प्रकार से जो आशाएं लेकर हमने इतने दिन मेहनत करके बीजेपी को लाए और फिर ये बन जाए एक नौटंकी, तो फिर हमारे हमें तो सबको दर्द होता है।
दो तीन बातें और डॉक्टर स्वामी जल्दी से मैं कह दूं, समय कम है। इन्होंने तो सेलिब्रिटीज को लाके इकट्ठा किया जिनको जानकारी कुछ नहीं है, रामायण के राम अरुण गोविल को प्रत्याशी बनाया, कंगना रनौत जिसको राजनीति का एबीसी नहीं पता उसको प्रत्याशी बनाया, जो जो सेल्फ डिक्लेरेशन उसने किया था कि शी इज ए बीफ ईटर वो अलग बात है, बट ऐसे लोगों को प्रत्याशी बनाया। गाजियाबाद में अभी पश्चिम उत्तर प्रदेश की बात, दो दिन बीजेपी के प्रत्याशियों को जनता ने खदेड़ दिया, उनको भागना पड़ा वहां से, कितने बीजेपी के प्रत्याशियों ने टिकट लेने से मना कर दिया। तो ये सब लक्षण है कि जनता में कुछ ना कुछ सूचना जरूर पहुंच रही है, भले ही वो मीडिया के माध्यम से नहीं हो, गोदी मीडिया भले ही कितना भी प्रचार तंत्र इसको रोके, लेकिन जैसे आपने बताया कि महंगाई, जनता को पता है कि जब वो किचन का सामान खरीदने जाते हैं तो रोज कितना उनको लेना पड़ता है, जिन लोगों को रोजगार नहीं मिला उनको पता है मीडिया उनको रोजगार नहीं दिला सकता, कितना भी वो आयात कर लें सुगंध, जिसको कहते हैं कि परफ्यूम हम विदेश से मंगा के बांट देते हैं लेकिन उससे कोई बदबू नहीं जाती, तो वही है बस स्थिति लोगों को पता चल रही है। और लेकिन इसको रोकने के लिए हमें क्या करना चाहिए, ये अगर हम ये जैसे इमरजेंसी के बाद जनता पार्टी ने किया था कि उन्होंने 42वां संशोधन किया कि अब इस देश में इमरजेंसी लाइक कभी कोई ऐसा डिसीजन नहीं होगा कि लोगों के अधिकार छीने जाएं, तो अभी ये बात आम जनता तक तो महंगाई और आर्थिक स्थिति कारण पहुंच चुकी है, जैसे आपने वर्णन किया इलेक्टेड चीफ मिनिस्टर्स को गिरफ्तार कर रहे हैं, लेकिन ये जनता उसमें अभी भी बची हुई है, तो जनता तक इस बात का कैसे प्रचार किया जाए?
ये वो तो इमरजेंसी में भी मैंने देखा कि जब चुनाव हो गई थी फिर तो रोक नहीं सकते, वो हमारे लोग यानी घर में बैठ के ही रामायण सबको समझा सकते हैं, ऐसे हमारे लोग हमारी इतिहास है। तो चुनाव में जरूर कोई ये बात कहीं ना, जैसे हमारी अब ऐसे टेलीविजन में तो बात आ रही है, लोग देख रहे हैं, क्योंकि मैं जब हवाई जहाज में जाता हूँ लोग आते हैं कहते हैं हमने देखा यूट्यूब में, ये देखा वो देखा, कोई NDTV या नेशनल हेराल्ड या जो भी उनकी अनेक जो प्रचार होते हैं उनको देखते नहीं है वो जो निश्चित तौर पर ये जो यूट्यूब है उसकी उसमें जो इंटरव्यू आ रहे हैं उनको उनको देख रहे हैं, तो कहीं ना कहीं ये सब आ जाने वाला है। जब पहले तो विदेशों में भी बड़ी मोदी की तारीफ होती थी जो मोदी चाहते थे और हमारे लोग जाकर उनको खिलाते थे हमारे वहाँ के, एक बार अब वो भी जहाँ हमारे वहाँ हिंदुस्तानी हैं जो उनके अखबारों से बात करते हैं उसके कारण आज अखबार भी बोलने लगा है। तो मैं ये नहीं समझता हूँ कि इस चुनाव प्रचार में ये छिपा सकते हैं, ये आज भी रशिया के कहीं निकट नहीं है दमन में, तो मैं सोचता हूँ कि ये हमने जो आज किया किसी और को हिम्मत होगी मैं नहीं जानता, परंतु मैं ये जरूर जानता हूँ कि कपिल सिब्बल ने एक चैनल चलाई उसमें वो ऐसे बातों को बाहर निकाल कर ला रहे हैं, बड़े बड़े विशेषज्ञों को बुला करके उनसे कहलवाते हैं, तो ऐसे अभी फैलने लगी ये यूट्यूब से, तो मैं ये नहीं मैं पूरा मुझे पूरा विश्वास है कि हमारे देश में इस चुनाव में हम लोग जैसे आज हम प्रोग्राम कर रहे हैं और भी लोग करेंगे ऐसा होगा तो निश्चित तौर पर ये बात फैल जाएगी। और उसके बाद मैं यही दोबारा कहता हूँ कि बीजेपी में है अच्छे लोग, वो टिकट नहीं दिया वो अलग बात है, बट वो अच्छे लोग हैं, काबिल है, योग्य है। अब मोदी की जो तानाशाही की जो नेतृत्व है और मंशा है, इस कारण से उनको किनारे किया है। उनको कंगना को ला सकते हैं, परंतु कोई बुद्धिमान व्यक्ति है उसको नहीं लाएंगे। तो वो मंशा बदल जाए, और मैं आज तो कहता हूँ ये हम तो कह ही सकते हैं, और कुछ नहीं कह सकते। अयोध्या में भी मैं जानता हूँ कि कितना कितना कपट हुआ वहाँ, और उसको सीधा करने के लिए मुझे क्या क्या करना था, तभी तो सुप्रीम कोर्ट में हम जीत पाए। तो हताश नहीं होना है, बस ये है, इसको मान लिया कि ऐसा हो रहा है, तो फिर हम सब लोगों को आगे आके इसको प्रचार करना चाहिए जो हमारी क्षमता है।
डॉक्टर स्वामी, मैं ये सोचता हूँ कि जहाँ तक लोगों का, भारतीयों का जो डेमोक्रेसी या जम्हूरियत के ऊपर जो विश्वास है वो अटूट है, जैसे आपने बताया इमरजेंसी के काल में 20 लगभग 60 दिन के अंदर कोई पॉलिटिकल पार्टीज नहीं थी, कोई पॉलिटिकल वर्कर सब जेल में थे, 1,40,000 राष्ट्र स्वयंसेवक संघ के कार्यकर्ता जेल में थे। उस परिस्थिति में भी हिंदुस्तान की जनता ने जो उनको उचित लगा उस समय उन्होंने किया, और मुझे ऐसा लग रहा है हम सब चाहते हैं कि बीजेपी वापस आए और बीजेपी में भी परिवर्तन हो। हो सकता है कि नतीजे इस तरह के आएंगे कि जो लोग आज बीजेपी के भागदौड़ देख रहे हैं उन लोगों को पता चल जाएगा, और जो शक्तियां बीजेपी को सपोर्ट कर रही है परिवार संघ परिवार के लोग, उनको भी समझ में आ जाएगा कि किस तरह को देश को लेके जाना चाहिए। क्योंकि आम तौर पे जनता में बड़ा गुस्सा है कि जिस तरह से तानाशाही की ओर चंद नेता लोग जा रहे हैं। आपने यह जिक्र किया बंबई के कृपा शंकर सिंह को, यूपी से जो कांग्रेस में थे, जिन्होंने आरएसएस को टेरर कहा था, उनको उन्होंने यूपी से लोकसभा का बीजेपी का कैंडिडेट बनाया, और प्रज्ञा ठाकुर को भोपाल से जो मालेगांव जो कांड हुआ है उसके बारे में उनको गलत फंसाया गया, उनको टिकट नहीं दिया गया। जनरल वीके सिंह जो सोनिया मनमोहन सिंह के राज में अपने चीफ ऑफ आर्मी थे, उनको दो इलेक्शन में वो बड़ी संख्या में 5,00,000 से ज्यादा वोटों से गाजियाबाद से जीत के आते थे। 10 साल मोदी जी ने उनको सिर्फ मिनिस्टर ऑफ स्टेट बना के रखा, और अन्य आईएएस ऑफिसर और आईपीएस ऑफिसर और आईएफएस ऑफिसरों को कैबिनेट रैंक दिया, और ऐसे लोगों को उन्होंने आखिर में टिकट नहीं दिया। ऐसे बहुत सारे उदाहरण है, महाराष्ट्र में है, यूपी में है, कर्नाटक में है, कि ये जो पार्टी के कार्यकर्ता को जिस तरह से ये लोग गुमराह कर रहे हैं, और वो भी जनता को गुमराह करने की कोशिश है। मुझे लगता है बीजेपी इससे उभर के आएगी और सही दिशा में चलेगी। हम सभी चाहते हैं कि बीजेपी जीते, मगर हमारा भी अधिकार है जब पार्टी के कोई फोरम उपलब्ध नहीं है। मैं अपने दर्शकों को बताना चाहता हूं कि गए 10 साल में बीजेपी में, जो हमेशा एक डेमोक्रेटिक पार्टी में होना चाहिए, कोई चुनाव नहीं हुए है। अभी जो ये नॉमिनेशन बांट रहे हैं पार्लियामेंट्री बोर्ड, ये भी गलत है। पार्टी प्रेसिडेंट का एक्सटेंशन भी गलत है। पार्टी में पहले चुनाव होना चाहिए, और बीजेपी में और जनसंघ में ये होता था, जनता पार्टी में भी होता था, तो ये नहीं है डेमोक्रेटिक। लोग साहब, कई लोग पूछते हैं कि डॉक्टर स्वामी बीजेपी में क्यों है और अभी मोदी का बारे में शिकायत करते हैं। आई विश टू टेल देम दैट इट इज अ डेमोक्रेटिक पार्टी, पीपल हैव अ राइट टू रेज वॉइसेस इन अ डेमोक्रेटिक पार्टी। वी हैव जस्ट सीन द प्राइमरीज ऑफ द डेमोक्रेटिक एंड रिपब्लिकन पार्टीज इन द यूएस, हाउ दे डिबेट विद इन द पार्टी ऑन पब्लिक इश्यूज, एंड देन समबडी इमर्जेस एज द कैंडिडेट फॉर द प्रेसिडेंशियल फ्रॉम ईच ऑफ द रिस्पेक्टिव पार्टीज। So, we must come out of this feudal mindset that only everything should be held in closed doors, nothing should be discussed in public, then we'll have emergency like situation between 74 and 77. So we must be vigilant. We are for BJP, but BJP in a democratic spirit should also accept it. We want BJP candidates to win, but this tendency of being autocratic should end. This is my views. I will now, Ramesh would like to comment further.
Yeah. Yes.
So, Dr. Swami, the topic today is Indian democracy under serious threat, correct? So, if you look at when was this democracy under threat, was during emergency. So, let's take a look at where we are today. ECI completely usurped. The Chief Justice is kicked out of the panel. You look at the Supreme Court, the government is taking a stand. I mean, they're sponsoring some bandicoots who are running around and casting aspersions against the Supreme Court. Electoral bonds, the biggest beneficiary being BJP, getting 84% of all those things. Using the EB, CBI, ED, IB, whatever, all to conduct raids. So once you conduct a raid, Chandalo, whatever he said, that's what is happening. So I raid on you, you give me money, you join my party, you're fine. Everything is cleaned up, you're fine. You're washed through my Modi washing powder, you're good through the machine. And allowing crooks, like what Jagdish said, and allowing crooks to join. What else, what other signs can there be, Dr. Swami, when the democracy is under threat or not?
I agree. I'll say that you're not even able to defend your country.
Absolutely.
First is what China has done. Then Maldives says, get out. And we quietly come out like pussycats. Which country? Nepal, supposed to be our blood brothers. They have also told you, get out. The Chinese have come in. Sri Lanka, because you try to boss over them, they have no alternative but to go ask the Chinese to come and do their investment and their economy can grow. Bangladesh is not with you. Of all the most loyal was the hill area of what is it called that next to right up in the mountains Bhutan, it slipped my mind. That's we had forgotten about it because they were so pro India. Today they have given Chinese tremendous leeway to draw up a new boundary line, and then Mr. Modi is going there for a function, and they think that all you have to do is flatter Modi, and after that no questions will be raised about the Chinese presence in Bhutan. So we are in which dimension has there been genuine progress? All hidden in the media is not people don't know, and foreign policy is anyway only the upper middle class take interest in it. But I'm saying you can't stop the people when it comes to food. If it is unemployment, you can't stop the people. The maximum unemployment of the youth has taken place during Mr. Modi's tenure compared to all the previous this thing. I can sit down with somebody and show the statistics which I have managed to put together. So you can see that also people who come to my house, where previously youngsters never came to my house looking for any job that I could get for them. So I think we can't afford to go on like this. If it goes on for very long, then there will be a street fight and all those things will happen and set our country back. And we have to therefore rectify it. And the election is our last sacred method of doing it properly. Vote for BJP, but Mr. Modi, no. He has betrayed us in all the various issues by being an autocrat. And we have to make sure that we have people who care for democracy and are willing to listen to criticism from the people. He has never asked me any time. I've written to him letters many times. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't. this our lady judge from Supreme Court has pointed out about the demonetization. I've written him a letter telling him that all counterfeit Pakistani notes have now been recycled and they have got now a legitimate new 500 rupee note compensation. So there's, if you are not ready to listen to criticism, you're bound to fail, even if you had the best intentions. Here, the thing is that if you give them, then you're cut off, you're removed. Why are some of these highly well-qualified people who are ministers today cut off? Because they talked back or they said this can't be done. That was enough to remove them.
Swami, one, I just want to see, I see a lot of comments saying that, oh, if Dr. Swami is so saying so many things against Modi and all those things, why is he still in BJP? an answer. No, I have my own way of answering for them, saying that the very simple reason, he's got the guts, and as Jagdishji very clearly said, BJP is a democratic party. Anybody can raise a voice if there is something wrong. It's better that you say. If it is in your same house and somebody is criticizing you, will you kick him out? Don't be stupid. Don't be an idiot and ask such questions. Dr. Swami, your response.
No, it is on issues. We have to, in a democracy, be able to. See, ILO India is perfectly correct. This Aarti Sharma has put out. 83% unemployed of the youth, 83% are unemployed.
83% among the 83% unemployed, 83% are youth.
Yes. Amongst the youth, 83% are unemployed.
Unemployed. Hmm.
So therefore, even if you want to say that amongst the unemployed youth are 83%, that also is about the same thing. So I'm saying this, that we are trying to save the party. And somebody is, like we had the Mughal period, just do what you like, that we cannot allow in our country.
Yeah, because the party is bigger than the person. Unfortunately, it has become, instead of a BJP government, it has become Modi government. It's all about Modi. People don't live forever, parties do. So get your head straight, clean all the nonsense that you have in your head. We need BJP to win. We need to continue as an Hindutva party, or we don't need Modi. Absolutely, because you cannot compromise on principles and values. Because if you look at Dr. Swami, if you look at one more piece, the so-called democracy of the party, their election manifesto, the core points, the election manifesto, none of them have been fulfilled today, Dr. Swami. None. Be it the corruption. Be it
liberating temples.
That's exactly, yeah. That's abandoned.
No, they grabbed temples. Temples. 100% of the temples were grabbed. Then I had to go to court and get it removed. Same thing Maharashtra, they've done it in Pandharpur, you see. So therefore, and none of the temples are being freed, even though there is a Supreme Court order that only with the any financial irregularities should be. And in a short period, you should be returned back. And you cannot touch anything else. But you find in Maharashtra, Pandharpur, Mr. The former chief minister of our party, he goes there and starts dictating to the pujaris on what to be done and what not to be done. I mean, are there no other work that they should be telling how this should be done? We are finding that in almost every state. Taking over of the temples.
Dr. Swami, I have a question on some recent development and USA and UN making unnecessary comments on this issue. And this is regarding this Kejriwal and something about bank accounts and all that. Our viewers would like, because many have raised this question, our viewers would like your comments. You have already tweeted on it, but can you explain to our viewers in short about these two issues, UN and US attack on our internal affairs?
You see, US, we have an association with them, the Quad as it's called, and we have a lot of interactions. We have a lot of Indians also working there. And if they express something, why take notice of it? If I criticize the United States or some member of parliament or some minister criticize the United States, the United States will not react at all. Because if you are partners and they want to make a criticism, yes, I don't appreciate them speaking up for Kejriwal, because Kejriwal tried to put me in jail, you know that, on a cooked up thing. But of course, I went to court and got it quashed. So it couldn't happen. Like Sonia Gandhi, she told him to do it. So Kejriwal is something he can take care of himself. He's chief minister. Let him fight with Mr. Modi the way he wants. But if somebody from abroad, particularly from Ford Foundation inspiration, they want to speak up for Kejriwal, let them speak. Why you should take notice at all? I mean, you're giving them importance by taking notice.
Dr. Swami, you know there's an, you see this on the screen. Mr. Vanchuk is on a hunger strike, and he has the Ladakhis, he has mobilized them, and he's saying that it should be safeguarded under the sixth schedule. But besides this environmental issues, he has spoken about unemployment and other things. But most important issue which he has spoken there and he has quoted you repeatedly is that China has captured Indian territory, and that he is going to lead a march to the borders to show people and the media, if they are interested, how much China has captured in Ladakh area. So our viewers want to know whether you would support this thing which is going on there, and what is your views on this climate change and the sixth schedule and this agitation for the rights of the Ladakhis.
Well, you see, these are essentially part of democracy. Each state has some grievance which the center is responsible but is not addressing it. So they must demonstrate. Frankly speaking, I'm very happy that he mentioned me a few times, saying that, yes, I was right. And I believe that we must liberate our country from Chinese clutches, but ultimately it has to be done. The action has to be done by the government, or you create such a situation that the appropriate government comes to help you out. Jawaharlal Nehru did it, and you know what price he paid for it. That was the end of Jawaharlal Nehru. So I think as far as Kejriwal is concerned, I think he can take care of Modi himself. I certainly will not speak up for him, because when he was ruling the roost, even with Sonia Gandhi's blessings, he tried to get me arrested on a completely nonsensical charge. Of course, Tulsi, KTS Tulsi, was a friend of mine and a very damn good lawyer. He went to court and got it quashed. So he's getting his own desserts that he had put out for other people. So I would not bother about him. But I would certainly be concerned about people being prevented from publishing something, people from speaking something, and so on. Kejriwal, what is the issue? That there is an accusation of him having stolen this and stolen that. Now, that is something that Kejriwal and the government of India should fight it out in court. But I don't think the ordinary people who don't know the details of it, nor Kejriwal has asked any of us to help him, because tomorrow he's quite capable of saying, who asked Swami to intervene? I never asked him to intervene. And you look very, very silly at that situation. So therefore, the people who are watching our show should know that we are not in a mood to fight anything that BJP is doing. We are, BJP is doing a lot of nice things, minus Modi and the amount of support I got from the Vishwanda Parishad and the RSS in getting the Ram Mandir done. No other party would do this kind of support that I got. So therefore, there are so many pluses about BJP that that is not important just now. I just would like to see the minuses cut off as quickly as possible.
Dr. Swami, I am sorry. Arvind, I am little sorry. I am taking your time. But there is a Dr. Swami here in the program, our chat box also, and other places. A canard is spread that if you are against Modi, that means we are pro Rahul. And if we are against Modi, then Rahul or his other group will come to power. How do you counter this type of thing, Dr. Swami? Because many of the youth are misled. If not Modi, then it is Rahul Gandhi, Pappu, or what as you call him, Buddhu, it will be Buddhu. Can you enlighten our viewers why it is not so? That it need not be that Modi goes, there will be no other capable leader in the BJP. Your views on this? I'm sorry, Arvind and Ramesh ji, I had to ask this question.
No, you see, the question is, are we so weak that if we knock off Modi, there will be no BJP? BJP is a very strong party. And it has survived all the attacks of the Nehru family, starting with Jawaharlal Nehru, ending up with Indira Gandhi, who tried to crush the the RSS and therefore the Jan Sangh. But I don't think that we need to bother about weakening RSS or weakening the BJP at all. And it's a sign that you have become enslaved, mentally enslaved, that you think that only Mr. Modi can save you. There are so many people in our party who can do a better job, and they are more educated than Mr. Modi.
Dr. Swami, okay, I have just one small question. Small question. You mentioned about economic bad economy and situation like that. Modi government claims to feed 80 crores people 5 kilograms ration. On the other hand, they claim that 13.5 crores people have come out of poverty and there are very few poor people left. If this is so, then why 1 lakh crore is being spent on MNREGA, number one. Number two, very recently, last week, some revision was done for the minimum wages of MNREGA people. And MNREGA is basically one job per family for 100 days in a month, 100 days in a year. And the minimum wages that they have been identified, it varies from state to state, but it is roughly around 250 rupees. 250 rupees for 100 days is only 25,000. 25,000, when we divide by 365 days, it is 68 rupees per family. Now, in 68 rupees per family per day, what kind of food family can eat and what kind of poverty alleviation we are doing?
Yeah. Well, you have, by sitting here itself, been able to analyze. I would say if you make a visit to whatever claim has been made, you will find nothing.
Yes.
I know people who have gone to places where this was claimed, and we find that there's nothing that is going on. Maybe in a village, two people might have benefited, and they are the ones who the local newspapers have put it up. So I don't go by all that. I'm saying that the normal economic machinery should be used. Pay people well. Create employment. Eliminate unemployment. Then automatically, and then you encourage people to invest. So reduce the income tax. I'm saying abolish it. Lower the interest rates. There are so many things that you have by which you can move the Indian economy, where people will do the whole idea of market economy is that. You can't have a paternal economy, you see, where somebody is there, I say, give this, give that. It is not a monarchy, nor are we a communist country.
Okay, Arvind, we have gone beyond 1 hour.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Swami. This was such an important topic, and you started with the whole of the economy, how the economy is going down the drain. But we were talking about the control of a limited number of people. In fact, we can say, hum do, hamare do, as they say in BJP. The only two people are controlling the party. And Jagdish, I think he has made very clear your stand and the kind of criticism that people have been asking, why you are against Modi and things like that. So we are all basically pro-Jansang, pro-BJP, but we don't want dictatorship of two persons like what is happening. And this is a danger. And I think we have analyzed this and we have put the things in right perspective. I'm sure the viewers on the eve of the election will also realize that what are the dangers if the democracy is controlled and we have some kind of dictatorship creeping into the political system. And you have highlighted all the... Ramesh, you want to say something?
Quickly, Jagdish ji, with your permission, can we show that 10-second clip of what Nirmala Sitharaman said?
Okay.
I think the viewers have know about it.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. That's all. That's fine. Go ahead, Arvind ji, conclude.
Yeah. So basically, the dangers to the democracy, we have discussed earlier also in this program. It was very important for us to point out specifically, item-wise, that where are the dangers and how these dangers can be overcome and how should we control it. Thank you, Dr. Swami. Thanks, Ramesh. Thanks, Jagdish, for anchoring this program for such a long time. We have been doing it almost for 4 years now. Day after tomorrow, 2nd of April, we will complete 4 years. We started on 2nd April 2020. So on Ram Navami Day, and of course, Ram Navami is 10 days further. But almost 4 years we have completed. And a successful program. Congratulations to our technical team, which has been strengthening day by day and introducing newer technology by the day. Thanks, Ashish Shetty, Swaminathan, Tejas Navalgul, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Vishal Mehta, Ajesh Nair, for curating this wonderful program, which viewers look forward to every Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Arvind ji, we want to add Guru Dutt Karkala Shetty as well to the IT team.
Yes,
he's doing a phenomenal job.
Guru Dutt is doing a wonderful job for Virat Hindustan Sangam. And he is on one of the pillars of the backstage. Thanks for mentioning this. And we'll be meeting again with a newer topic next Sunday with Dr. Subramanian Swami. A new topic. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind, Jai Shri.